This is Teddy Teapot with Teddy Mellencamp.
Hi, guys. Welcome to this week's Teddy Teapot, who I am co-hosting with Bob Guinea. Most of you who know me at all know that I'm like a crazed Bachelor fan, like from the very beginning. And I couldn't think of sharing all of my personal information with anybody other than you, because you were one of my favorites.
Thank you.
So many incredible things post-Bachelor, but I figured, you know what? I'm so grateful to have you here today because, you know, you've been through this reality world business back in Texas and, you know, all the lows of it.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm excited to be on. And and thanks for watching the show that far back. You were probably still in diapers, so I appreciate it. I don't know how you're able to.
No, so what year were you on? Was it 1999? No,
Oh my God, you actually just made me feel older than I am. No, it was 2003. I was on Trista's season. And then, so it was the first Bachelorette, and then they made me the Bachelor. So I was actually the fourth Bachelor, and that was in 2004.
Okay, so I knew it was close to when I originally moved out. So I moved to California in 1999.
Okay.
And we would have like viewing parties in my like little apartment that I shared with like 86 other people. So that has stuck with us. This will be the first year that I can't have my Bachelor viewing parties because of COVID.
I know, man. COVID thing is just killing so many fun things, you know?
It's just not the same on Zoom, but at least this call, it feels the same. It feels like we're sitting in the same room together.
It does. And I'm so, you know, I wanted to tell you, so my wife, who you've not met, we just moved from Seattle back to the Midwest. And my wife, her best friend, a lady named Cherish, is in Seattle. And so they would watch every episode of Real Housewives. And they are the Teddy and Kyle relationship of their friend. And it was so funny because they'd always be like, I call my wife Canyon, which is her maiden name, but Canyon, I was always like, you know, hey, Canyon, you know, what's going on tonight? She's like, well, everyone's just Teddy and Kyle and us yet again. So you know, they're all just pissed. It's so great.
So is she the Teddy?
She's the Teddy. Yeah. And her friend Cherish is the Kyle. Yeah.
Is she a little bit type A, controlling, funny though? Funny. Great.
Yeah, very fun, loving way. Yes, she is. Actually, when we were getting married, I called her the Frugal Fiance because I was like, you should have your own like pod series and call it the Frugal Fiance. And she's like, what do you mean? I go, well, everything that comes up, you're like, wait a minute, I can go get that at Costco and make it myself. Now, that's not a Teddy thing. That's just a Canyon thing. But to give you an idea of her type A-ness, it comes out a lot of ways.
You know what? She's a girl after my own heart, type A till the end. But she's probably a straight shooter. And that's, you know, why you fell in love with her.
Exactly. Why.
No, it's a blessing and a curse for us straight shooter type A types.
Yeah. But,
you know, this last week has been such craziness around here.
Well, I can only imagine. I mean, you're dealing with, first of all, I said this last night in passing, but I know we have a lot of news to get to today, in particular, what's going on with Housewives and with you. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's just got to be such a, I would imagine you said a blessing and a curse. I would imagine you're probably feeling a little bit of a blessing and a curse, or a little bit of a relief, but also a little bit of like, you know, what the hell's going on here? I mean, so what is going on? The headlines are out right now about, you know, you leaving.
So the crazy thing, the craziest part about it was, I think it was last Monday, I woke up, I was on the Peloton, and my girlfriend started texting me, my non-television show girlfriends, and they're like, hey, is everything cool? And I'm like, why? And they're like, well, it's all over the Daily Mail that you're no longer a housewife. And I was like, oh, come on. know, like, whatever. You know, like, you know, and then I went on Daily Mail and looked at it. And then I like sent the message to my manager and agent and publicist. And I was like, hey, guys, what's up? And like, maybe not 3 hours later, I get the phone call and they're like, hey. And I'm like, what? And they're like, so, your contract's not getting renewed as a housewife. And I'm like, you are telling me that it's released to the Daily Mail before me.
Oh my God.
So that to me, you know, like you have to kind of go through a couple different stages, which I'm sure you know, but like the first stage is like your ego. Like, which we all hate to admit we have one, but it's like, what is happening? Like, how did this happen? How did I have no idea? But then you start to kind of think about things. And I started really, like, of course my heart broke because I was like, how was I blindsided by this? How did this happen? And I didn't know. But I think for the last couple of months, I had been preparing myself. Because we had like a really busy year last year with our family. Like I got pregnant naturally for the first time. I had was able to tell the kid, like I filmed so many amazing things that were never shown on the show that right. I was like, it should have been the writing on the wall, you know, like, okay, all of the like things that make me a likable, redeeming human being were not shown on the season.
Yeah, the power of the acting thing is the worst on a reality show, you know?
Yeah, you know, and so if you only see a certain part of somebody, it's really hard to connect to them, I think. And I'm not blaming production or Bravo or whatever it is, but I was there to, you know, to do a certain part, and that part I did. But if you don't see the other part, it's hard to relate to the person. If you don't see me at work, if you don't see me with my kids, if you don't see me with my husband, and you just see me arguing.
Right.
It's right. It's not.
And you, I mean, to be fair, I mean, you were a decent, like a kind arguer. I will say that, like in the episodes that I've watched, you were never like going for the jugular, which, you know, you weren't really playing the game, so to speak, I guess, in that regard, where it's like scorched earth. And then, you know, that's how everyone stays getting renewed every year, right? They just don't really have,
I think the biggest thing for me was like, I always said I was only going to say things, you know, what I can't stand when it comes to like listening to some past housewives will come forward and they'll be like, I was forced to do that. Or I was forced to do that. We're not forced to do anything. We're adults.
Right. Right.
You make your own decisions, but I can say that, yes, I made mistakes throughout my time on Housewives, but I also did authentically what felt right to me in that moment. And yes, some things I had to apologize for and some things I still stand true to today. But like, right. You know, I'm not going to be the type that you're going to worry is like going to punch somebody. Like everything I say comes from the heart. And maybe that's why, you know, you're not going to see craziness from me because like I'm doing it because it's how I'm feeling. Not right. Because what I think, you know, Jennifer is going to think on blah, 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 watching it back.
Sure. No, I get it. And that's, If you were doing that, that's pretty transparent too. That's what they always say, right? You can see right down the lens. So if you were just putting on an act, everyone would have been pissed about that. They would have been able to pick up on that and they would have been like, oh, she's totally acting this out. So, you know, that's, I think the people out there that love you know that you're a very genuine article, and that's something that's important, you know?
Thank you.
I can imagine being the last to know had to just be so disheartening. I mean,
well, I think, you know, there's also a big part of when something is such a huge part of your life for over 3 years and it takes, you know, we're filming 5-6 days a week with these same people. And it's not only just the other women that you film with. It's also the producers, the crew, like you talk to these people more, almost more than you talk to anybody else in your life. Sure. So I remember, and I still, and I mean, I text, like I'm on a, you know, group text with Erica and Kyle and Renna, and like, there are days where I'm like, why do I feel sad today? And they're like, you're going to feel sad some days. Like, and then the next day you're not going to feel sad. And then you're going to feel sad, you know, like, because it's a habit. It's something that's created in your life. And like, it really does feel like a breakup because like, there are certain producers that I would talk to. You know, like I joked with one of them. I was like, you're like my second husband, or like, you're like my sister wife. Like we talk so much that, you know, it's always going to be different. Even if I came back as a friend of, or whatever happens, like my life will forever be different. But in that same token, I feel like when I was all in on Housewives, I was unable to do some things that I know I need to do in the rest of my life. Because the negativity and the positivity, all of those things consumes you.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, you know, you mentioned a friend of, I mean, would you consider that? Like if they came to you and said, hey, we'd like you to come back and, you know, be kind of like a side player type of thing.
You know, I think there's different types of friend devs. I think if it came down to a situation where, like, it was to support one of my friends at an event that I, you know, I want to be there for and I care about, you know, what if it makes sense, then I, you know, I'll never say never, but I wouldn't want to be in a situation just to, like, throw drama, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah.
So I never say never because I just don't know the circumstance. And some of these women I really love and care about.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. I mean, you just mentioned, like, Renna and Erica, I mean, and obviously Kyle. I mean, those are real friends of yours now. Like, you guys have become, and I mean, I've met Renna years ago. I've always loved her, you know, and she's a wild card, but she's funny and crazy. But were there anyone else, was there anyone else on the show that you feel like you walk away with a genuine friendship that will last, you know, while you're not on the show?
You know, I reached out to Dorit because Dorit and I've had some extreme highs and lows on the show. And I don't know if that's because the extra, you know, just that extra pressure of, like, wanting to get your point across or whatever it may be. But I texted her as soon as I found out and just said, hey, I just wanted to let you know, like, we've had good times and bad times on the show, but I wanted to let you know they're not renewing me as a housewife. And I just want to wish you the best. Like, regardless of, I think that Dorit has a good heart. And yeah. Our kids loved playing together. So I reached out to her. And then, like, Sutton and I have messaged back and forth. But, like, I, you know, I think that time will tell.
Yeah.
And I think it's crazy to put too much expectation on yourself or on other people. Because also what starts to happen is you don't want the others to feel like they can't share things with you or they need to share things with you. Because this is a situation out of our control completely.
Right, right.
But Go ahead.
Have you heard from Andy at all?
I did hear from Andy. And you know what? Andy did something, like, I think it was on his podcast or on his Sirius channel, where he said that my post was the most, like, authentic departure post he had ever seen. Because I was just straightforward. You know, every housewife, I think, prior always says, you know, it was a mutual decision.
Right,
that
right.
That we had to not go. And, you know, the biggest thing for me, I was like, I'm not going to say that.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to do that because it's not true. And if anything, I'd rather be honest. And then I got some heat because people are like, why did you turn off your commenting? Like, why did you turn your commenting off on that post? If you're going to be so authentic and be so honest, why are you turning off your commenting? And the truth is, sometimes you're okay. You're in a good mental state to take heat and to take the abuse or to take trolls or to take people coming at your family. That wasn't the day for me.
No, and that's your choice to make too. You know, I think about that. Like, I was wondering, because I mean, I used to, when I was the Bachelor, I remember I'd have like 500 nice things said about me and two bad things. And those two bad things would stick in my mind for like a month, you know, and I would second guess everything. And it was like, these people don't realize you're a human being, you know? And so when you're going through something like that, I would imagine turning the comments off. You're like, look, I'm going to be genuine and authentic, but I'm gonna take today off, you know, which I totally get.
For me, I felt really good about the way that I shared it. It was like, I'm gonna be honest, I think that was the second or third day after I found out. I was going in waves of crying and then laughing and then crying. Yeah. Like, I didn't know how to reconcile my emotions, but I knew I had to be honest and I wanted to come forward and tell the truth because it was almost generating more hate by the speculation.
Right. Yeah.
And I know they normally prefer to wait and do a big announcement at the end, but I was like, I need to say it because I need to, like, put a stop to people speculating. And I just want to kind of put it out there. But I also didn't want my emotions about, you know, maybe grieving that the show's over or being excited for what's to come to be affected by somebody else's opinions of me.
Right. Yeah. And there's going to be, you know, the hardest part about that is a lot of those people are fans and love you and support you. And then you'll have a few people who they don't dislike you. They just like to stir up the sauce, you know, so a reaction, and they don't realize how it can really mess with you a little bit, you know?
You know, and I think it just all comes with time. I mean, when I first came to California, when I was 17 years old, I had these like big dreams, you know, like I was like, okay, I want to be an actor. I want to be a singer. And I remember my first big rejection was the end for me. And I didn't do anything in regards to that world again for like 15 years.
Yeah.
It's like, I didn't want to hear it. It hurt me too much. And I didn't want to go back to that 17-year-old girl. Like, I've done so much work on myself to grow and feel comfortable in my own skin and know who I am. And sometimes we revert back to old patterns when, like, things happen to us that are out of our control. And I just, sure. I don't want to do this. It's not fair to me. It's not fair to my kids.
Right. Well, I was going to say that too. I mean, have you, I mean, obviously you've had this discussion with your family. So how are they reacting to it? Like, what's your husband think? What is, you know, what does everybody think?
My husband's like, listen, I think he's like, I wish everybody got to see the amazing things about, like your first season, people got to see a lot of who you are. Like, you're silly, you make fun of yourself, you don't take yourself too seriously, but, like, you're also such an amazing mom. Like, we had a moment where, and I remember saying to production, like, I'd rather not film this because this is a really important thing for us. It was the day we told our kids that we were pregnant. We made this book and we read it, and, like, it was like, we are, you know, this whole thing. And, it was, and they were like, no, Teddy, we'll do it. It'll be in there. And, like, I thought that would be a memory that we would have forever. And it wasn't in there, you know? Right. So it was like some of those things, like, gosh, you're like, why did I share that side of me? Or, like, things were asked about growing up. And I'm like, why did I share that? You know, you put yourself on the table for it not to be shown. But he was like, here's the beauty of it, Teddy. Like, you came on, the people that watch the show and relate to you, they still love you. They still, you know, are motivated by what you're doing or inspired by what you're doing or how you've changed your life. Your business is in a good, healthy place. Your kids are happy. Like, we're still married, you know, like all of the things that, like, can happen when you really put your life out there.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't happen. We came out unscathed. I came out with some good friends. I just moved into a beautiful new house. Like, you know, life is not, I'm not in such a place, but, you know, there's definitely, but the only person that was really pissed was my son, Cruz. He goes, Mom, what did you do? And I said, I don't really know that I did anything. And he goes, I wanted to be famous. Now what?
You're like, we can work on that. We're in the right time. Like,
you're going to have to figure that out on yourself, buddy.
Yeah. That's really fun. How are the kids? I mean, I know they are all going through a little, you know, I know one of them had a little hand issue and the neurosurgery and everything. Are you okay to talk about that? Like, how's everyone doing?
Everybody's doing good. My daughter, Dove, who had neurosurgery, she gets her helmet on Friday or her doc band, and she's looking good. She's happy. You wouldn't have known that she's had neurosurgery. And then Slate and Cruz, I mean, they're doing as good as they possibly can be doing school at home. You know, there's highs and lows with that because they want to be with all their friends. And luckily we found a huge outlet, which has been, we've all been riding again. So we go out to the barn and ride horses, and, like, that's a safe, you know, sport for us to do.
Yeah.
And then, luckily because of everything that's going on and because they can do virtual school, my dad was like, hey, do you want to come visit us? And he's like, you know, we're figuring out a safe way to go visit my mom and my dad and my sister so everybody can meet baby Dove and see the kids. Because it's been, you know, my dad met baby Dove, but my mom and my sister haven't because, you know, she's a pandemic baby.
Right. So, yeah. It's such a weird time for everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I was going to tell you, I have the coolest memory of your dad. I was 25 years old and we just signed a record deal, and I was playing the Bluebird in Bloomington.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah. And Kenny Aronoff was playing with a band there, like, just having fun and playing. And we were, like, the opener for his band. And your dad came out and got on stage and just started singing with Kenny's, you know, group. And I just sat there and, oh my God, we closed the place down and we just hung out. And I mean, I'd be lying if I said I had, like, this great heart to heart with your dad, which I didn't, but I just, I was in the same room with him, and I'm such a fan that it was just so cool to get there and just hang with him. And his, you know, he was telling stories and just being just, you know, really just a cool dude to be around. And Kenny Aronoff was so, like, gracious to us. And, you know, it was like one of those moments that it sticks with you the rest of your life, you know? And so I wanted to share that with you because it made a huge difference for me when I met him that night.
Oh, I love that story. And I mean, that's really who he is. And I think that's taught me a lot as well, is, like, he's somebody who just really loves what he does.
Yeah.
And he does it for him and for, you know, like he creates music that he loves, that he cares about. He paints because it's something he loves doing. And I think that that's been a big lesson for me in regards to doing the show and also having All In and also having my kids. Like the importance has got to remain on what do I love doing? Right, what do I wake up in the morning and crave doing? And that's helping people. Sure. And that's working on myself. That's making sure that my family is taking care of themselves and having fun and we are doing things together and that I'm present. And, you know, like, truthfully, like my dad was like, listen, Teddy, when one door closes, another opens as long as you keep showing up for yourself every day. And that's the truth. Like, I've had paparazzi stalking me every day since this happened. They've got some real flattering shots, let me tell you. But, like, they stalk me on my runs because I think they're waiting for me to, like, be having this crying breakdown.
Right.
And I'm like, you know what? I might have them sometimes, but it's not going to be outside on my run, all right?
Yeah, like, yeah, mentally prepared to step out the front door. You know
I'm like, you guys, it's not going to happen here. I do that in the bathtub when no one's watching.
With a giant magnum of wine. Yeah.
With my huge Aperol spritz and music pretending I'm having self-care.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Accountability is your thing. So it's important that you're accountable for how much wine you're drinking on one of those nights too. You gotta, you know, keep your numbers
up. I know. I'm definitely accountable the next morning.
Well, I think it's true too. It's like, you know, the adversity happens. I mean, 2020's been a garbage year for all of us. So many people have, you know, with COVID and everything, and it's been just awful. The debates were awful. If anybody watched it, it's like there's no sense of calm and so much change happening. So it's like, you know, of course this happened this year. I mean, it just, of all the times this would happen, of course it happened this year, but it does give you a chance to really take the notoriety and the name recognition and everything you got from the show and turn it into something great. I mean, I know it's quick, but have you already started kind of thinking about next steps, or are you just sort of sitting back and looking at it?
You know, I think the biggest thing has been, my biggest focus has been like, all right, I'm really leaning in to, and I, leaning in is such an overused word. I need to like stop.
But
I've really been focusing on like the morale of all of my employees and focusing on my clients and the things that I did prior to Housewives.
Right.
Because, you know, when I'm filming Housewives, I can only keep on so many personal clients myself. So now I'm starting to grow that number again. I'm starting to also go back to the things that I love that have nothing to do with the television show, like going out to the barn, riding horses, like making time to talk to the people in my life that are really important that I do love, you know, that like when you're busy and then they're like, rush, how you doing? You know, like even my sister, like rush conversations where like, she's one of my very best friends. I love her so much. Like I need to take that time to, you know, invest in those relationships that maybe I haven't been putting enough effort into. And also like watching the show back, there are some things that I've learned, you know, about myself that I want to work on. And like, I'm glad that I, you know, was able to watch this season back and go, okay, you know, this was an ideal. And then also remember the good parts, but then go, okay, in the future, yes, Teddy, you can still be straightforward. Yes, you can say what's on your heart. Maybe your tone could bend a little different. Maybe you could you know, like
that's the type A part of you. Like my version of Teddy here at home, I'm always like, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. I say it to my wife all the time. I'm like, you sound mad. She's like, it's just my voice, you know. But
I sometimes my intensity level is a little high, you know. So and the season before that, I'd learned like, gosh, I'm really nagging my husband a lot, you know, like or whatever it may be. So just able to kind of take those things and say like, all right, I can grow and learn from this, and the friendships that matter from the show will continue on.
Yeah, that doesn't end just because the contract ends, you know. And to that point, like, I mean, you said you reached out to Dorit. I mean, what did Kyle say? Like, I mean, I know you guys are so close. How did she react?
I mean, I think there's always this moment. There's this thing that like, we always kind of, everybody knows that like sometime after the reunion is when you get your pickup letters.
Right, right.
So everybody just, it's like that unknown thing that you don't really speak about.
Yeah.
So that morning I got the text about the Daily Mail. I texted her and I was just like, uh-oh. And she's like, no. And I was like, yeah, I think this is a yes. And she was like, no, you know, and then once she found out, it's like, it all happens for a reason. Like, we love you. I can't imagine doing this without you. We love you. Like, but I might even get emotional, so cheesy, but like, being able to create such an amazing friendship through a reality television show,
yeah,
is really unheard of. And my, you know, I never would have thought, like, when people are like, are reality television shows fake? Like, right. I never in my deepest, like, thoughts of doing Housewives would have been, gosh, I'm probably going to find one of my very best friends doing the show.
Yeah, you wouldn't have guessed that in a million years. Yeah.
Like, and she has been a friend that's connected with my friends. Like, we have integrated into each other's lives outside of the show. And it really is incredible that you can really form that strong of a relationship with cameras on you.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, forget the cameras are there, right? And you're just being yourself, which I think is why people love you so much. But I think about that with Kyle too. Like, I mean, I watched the show as much as I could, and I would always like be to my wife, I'd always be like, oh, you're watching that show again. And I'd be like, I can't believe Dorit said it. I would know everyone. And he makes fun of me for that. But I would say you brought out a different side of Kyle too. You know, like, I mean, there's a side of Kyle that I think seemed a lot more relatable this past season, in that, you know, she let her guard down a little bit. She's always kind of been, you know, battling out in the past with Vanderpump, you know, for the Queen Bee type of situation. And I think she's just, you brought out a side of her that I think viewers really needed to see too. Like, a little more of a human side, you know?
Well, I think we really trust one another, and it was a true, authentic friendship. And I think that any show, whenever you're, you know, watching a show, you can feel that and you can see that. Yeah. And that's why I think at the beginning of the season, all the women were like, what's going on? What is this? What is it? And we're like, this is called an authentic friendship.
Yeah. I know you guys don't have any of these. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure they do. I watched the finale again last night, the part three of the finale, and first of all, I loved the pink hair, and that was a nice touch. But you know, Erica, you and Erica are like, it's seemingly very different people, but you guys seem to have like a nice understanding of one another, I thought.
You know what? I love Erica, and the thing that I learned so much is, like, Erica and I, the first season, didn't click, and the reason why was we never did anything together, the two of us. Every single thing was in the group.
Right.
So how do you, it's very hard to connect with a person in a large group when you don't get to know anything about that person. And the only thing that you know about them is what's been told to you from somebody else.
Right.
You know, so I got brought in and then, you know, had these conversations with Vanderpump or Dorit or whomever were having the current situation with her. And then I started feeling things that maybe I didn't necessarily feel or know, just because we never spoke.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like, it was other than hello. Like, there was no time for us to connect. And then once we both said, you know, at the reunion after my first season, like, okay, you know, we're going to make a conscious effort to move forward and get to know each other, it was impossible not to like one another.
Yeah.
Because, like, she's a straight shooter. She's an honest person. I've said this before, but like, if I were to get arrested tomorrow, Erica would be the person I would call, because I know that she would never tell a soul. You know, like, she is that kind of person. And she's also funny and smart. And, you know, I think it takes a big person for both of us to say, you know what, maybe we were wrong about each other that first season.
I think it says a lot. Yeah, I mean, because it's hard to do. It's hard to look. I mean, well, you mentioned it a few times, you know, like, looking back and watching the show, you decided maybe you were a little nagging too much, you know, maybe this or that. It's like, it's hard to do that self-evaluation. Cause I know for me, I mean, God, when I watched the first season of The Bachelorette back and saw my side profile, I'm like, okay, I've got to do something. I'm cutting out carbs and I'm doing some donkey kicks immediately. But that was just a visual thing, you know? And then you start realizing different things about yourself, but it's hard to do that. Cause it's, you know, you're doing it while still filming or still in the public eye. And so good for you. I mean, that can't be easy.
I mean, I think another big thing about the show is what I've learned is you have two options. You have the option to be the type of person that talks behind somebody's back and in their confessionals, or you have the option to always say it to somebody's face.
Yeah.
And even though it was hard as hell for me to do it, I always chose to say it to somebody's face.
Yeah.
And you see that throughout all three of my seasons. Like, I mean, I was on the struggle bus trying to do it. And I mean, I said to myself, why do I say awkward so many times? Because anytime I'd have to do it, I'd like put my like man hands up and I'd be like, this is going to be awkward, you know? But I had to go that route because it's the only way that sits well with me, you know? Like, and that's the thing people don't understand. Like, why would you say it to her face? Or why'd you bring it up at a dinner? Because you think me saying it in a confessional behind her back and letting her find out 6 months later watching it's going to be better? No, ma'am.
That's going to be a hot mess right there if you do that. I mean, you did the right thing. It's just, I couldn't imagine it being easy. Even last night when I rewatched the finale and you were like, you know, you say that you support women, but you didn't get on the plane and go, you know,
to Garcelle.
Yeah. It was one of those things where I was watching that. I was like, oh, wow, That took some chomps. Yeah, that's nice.
But I think, you know, for me, it wasn't like trying to get it at Garcelle. I mean, I like Garcelle. I think Garcelle's funny. I think she's a big personality. I think she's all those things. But I think that it's really challenging going through it and always trying to say, like, you know, we all have to empower each other in every moment. And this is who we are. And making these big accusation as women, but then not necessarily doing it, or then kind of mocking the entire situation. We all know we're on a TV show.
We all
know that the TV show thrives on drama.
Yep.
So when you say things like that, you know that it's going to make other people look bad. You just, you know, like, you know clearly if you're like, well, guys, why are you being so petty? You know what Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is. So like, let's reel this in. It's not your first rodeo. So like that was mainly my point. Like, you can't say those kind of off the cuff comments if you're not going to be there every single time showing up to show support.
Yeah.
Whether you're getting paid or not.
That's right. That's very true. I mean, that's another thing too. I mean, you come through this whole situation, obviously a bunch of women, you almost become like a sisterhood, and there's certain friendships you have that you're going to take away from it. But are there certain people that you're almost thankful that you aren't going to have to see again? I mean, I'm sure you'll still see them. You'll still be in certain circles, but are there certain people that you're glad you're not going to have to, you know, sit at dinner with every night?
You know what I'm really excited not to be a part of? Twitter.
Oh yeah.
Twitter. Like, I want you to hold me accountable to this. Okay. Putting it out there to all my T-Pod listeners and to you. I don't want to be the ex-housewife that is tweeting on the show years after I have been on the show about other people's problems.
Right.
I never want to be that person. I never want to be the person shading somebody years after. Like, it has been something that has been crazy to me. Like, Camille Grammer makes it her sole mission in life to try to put me down on Twitter. And I'm like, how does this even involve you? And what do you care? Like, I just don't, that is my biggest goal. Like, if I'm involved in something, if I do come back as a friend and it's something I'm involved in, okay, that's fine. But if I am not on that show, I better not be commenting on Twitter.
Yeah, live tweeting, yeah.
Like, absolutely not. And especially if it's not, and you know, and trying to be funny and when trying to be mean.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't want to become that. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to go after people that are on a show that I was once on. Like, I just, that negativity, I really want to be done with.
Yeah, I think that's a smart move. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, you don't strike me as the type of person who's going to be, you know, sitting there and like watching every episode and trying to figure out mean tweets. You know,
like, no, I may send a text to my girlfriends that are on the show and be like, whoa, hot mess express, or like, you were really drunk, or this really happened, you know, whatever happened. I may heckle them to their faces, I don't want Housewives to be something that defines me forever, where I feel the need to justify things 10 years later.
It's a launching pad, right? I mean, it's a great opportunity for you to get out there. And then obviously with all the other things you have going on in your life, it's not a bad thing that people know you as someone who is a straight shooter, who is going to lay their heart out there on the line and not be, I, that was a big thing for me when I was the Bachelor guy too, or on the Bachelorette rather, I should say, before the Bachelor, but I didn't want to be the guy in the ITMs that was in the moment things with producers where I was like trashing the other guys. So I totally respect that, because that was like my badge of honor in my mind. Because I'm like, I got to go home after this. And the last thing I want is my buddies just ragging on me because I'm super nice to this dude's face and then stabbing him in the back, you know, when I'm not around him. So I think that has always been a nice thing that I've heard from other people that they respected from the show. So yeah. I'm sure you'll.
I totally feel that. And something that my babysitter said to me, you know, after I found out about getting let go from the show, which I had totally kind of forgotten about. You know how you almost like black out the negatives when something happens? Like you're like, oh, I don't remember this side. I said, I was like, gosh, you know, like, I just can't believe this happened, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, Teddy, I'm just so grateful this happened for you. And I said, why? And she goes, I remember so many nights throughout these last 3 years where you'd come home later than you wanted to come home or whatever happened, and you'd be crying.
Oh.
And you would be sad about what went down. And, you know, even though I wasn't crying on the show, like, yes, I was sometimes, believe me, everybody knows, call me a crybaby all you want. But those car rides home from every single event, going through everything that may have happened to you or to your friend or between two friends, like it eats away at your soul.
Sure.
And I would come home and I'd have tears in my eyes, be, you know, ripping off those fake eyelashes, like taking out my extensions. Like I say, my like driver that drove me to and from Housewives, I'm like, he was like my therapist. Like we'd sit in the car ride home and I'd be like, I can't believe this happened to so-and-so. I just feel sick. Like, and the anxiety and like just consumes so much of your life.
Sure. I mean, some of those arguments are just, I mean, I watch a show and it's funny with my wife, she'll go, you know, this relaxes me. I'm like, how does this relax you? I'm like, it makes me insane. Like, I'm like jumping out of my seat. Like I'm, you know, and I watching it, I can only imagine how it had to feel afterwards. And that's funny that you say that the driver's like a therapist, because that dude's probably like, you know, he's probably the guy who really knows where all the bodies are buried, so to speak.
Oh, for sure. He knows the good, like, because if also there were times I was crying, there was also times I was pissed, you know, so just like in the car, I'm like, I can't believe she did that. I can't believe she said that to me. I can't, you know, whatever it may be. Or like the drive home from this season when I cried, I think I only cried one time this season, which is a small miracle.
Hey,
but
yeah.
On the way home, my husband's like, had never seen it happen. Like any other time during Housewives, it wasn't like a group dinner and I like broke down. So he was like casually eating a salad during it. And he's like, babe, on the way home, he's like, I can't believe you cried. Like, why do you even care? Why would you even get upset? And my driver, he goes, Edwin, now's not a good time.
He said that to your husband. That's so funny.
He's like, now's not a good time for her. She's processing.
Trust me, give her about 5 minutes.
let it die down. She just had a dramatic experience. I know this. This is her process. She's going to sit quiet, and then she'll start venting, and then she may cry again.
Give it a few minutes. It'll be fine. Just relax. Yeah, it's funny. I remind myself all the time of, like, the things I'm supposed to do when my wife's mad at me, and I'm like, okay, I probably should just step away, let her process, and then come back in. So, yeah, it's got to be hard when you're in those, like, pressure cooker moments. You know, it's funny, too. Like, this is totally off topic, but – I've never seen anyone do it on any of the shows before until Denise, but where like I think she just assumed that if she said certain things and that they wouldn't air it because it didn't seem like a TV show. Like when she would tell her husband, like, hey, stop saying anything, camera's on, you know, and the fact that they would leave that in, I thought was kind of shrewd by Bravo, like a smart move by the producers.
Well, this is the first year they broke the fourth wall in general. Yeah. But it was because she kept breaking the fourth wall. So normally that's not happening. Like we all know we're on camera. We don't need to like remind ourselves. Like, so I think that's partially why, but also like even in the interviews, they showed like production talking to us, asking interview questions, and then us thinking about the answer, you know, like all of that. I actually thought it was good that they did that, because I think sometimes it's hard to understand where we're coming from, or like you saw a producer talking to Garcelle at the car one time, like they're just opening it up, because oftentimes, you know, you are watching the show and you're like, how did that come up, you know, like how does this happen, and it's so many things stem from fourth wall stuff,
right? Yeah,
you know, like, and for those of you guys who don't know what fourth wall means, because I had no idea what fourth wall meant my first season when everyone's like, oh, that's for, you know, you can't break the fourth wall or whatever it was.
Yeah.
That is anything that makes what you're doing a TV show versus reality.
Right.
So
they're giving you the off camera.
So when Denise would say, bravo, bravo, effing bravo, she was trying to break the fourth wall, which would mean that production stops what they're doing and then redoes the scene. But the problem is we had never seen that. That wasn't something we were doing. So then that created a whole new issue with all of us.
Yeah, no one was happy about it.
Yeah. No one was happy about it because we're all like, why can you do that? But we can't. I would love to have done bravo, bravo, effing bravo when I was crying at Kyle's dinner at the beginning of the season.
Sure.
But you signed up to do this.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's kind of your job right now. So you got to stick with it and take the good with the bad. Yeah, that's interesting. I was wondering about that because, I mean, I was thinking that to myself, like, we would do those ITMs where we would sit there and, you know, and I'm not sure if this is how it works with the producers on the Housewives, but they would basically, we would use what they would say to us in a question and we would repeat it back on camera to kind of give the context of what we were doing. So, for example, like, if I was just on a group date, they'd say, today I want a group date with Debbie, Brenda, and Rhonda. And I'd be like, today I want a group date with Debbie, you know? And that's why I say the word amazing so much on The Bachelor, because the producers are like, today was just amazing. I went on this great group date. And that's how I would start my sentence, you know? Did that ever play into those ITMs that you would have on the show?
The only time it happened was my first season when I was upset about the situation with Erica, that she wasn't agreeing with me, like, even though she had already agreed with me. And I was venting to a producer, and we had both, like, I think the pretend amnesia comment, I don't know that that came from my own, like, I know that that was said in our venting back and forth. I just don't know if I came up with it. Because I'm like, I don't know that I've ever thought, like, granted, I think maybe we were just like, I was like, I can't believe she said that. I remember this happening. And we were walking up the stairs and I had the memory, and they showed the memory later that it did happen. But I think the producer may have been like, I know, it was like pretend amnesia. And then I remember 3 days later sitting down and being like, pretend amnesia. And then I was like, damn it. Why did I say that? You know, like, but it wasn't ever, Teddy, you should say this. It's just you're talking to another human being. It's like if you hang out with somebody for a long time and they say the word y'all, all of a sudden you start saying y'all. It's not it's subliminally happening versus, you know, you're being told to do something.
Right. Not forcing the words down their mouth, but it's just out there in the atmosphere and it's just in your head, you know?
Yeah.
You hear it.
No, even my, you know, I got so much heat about talking with my hands, which you can see I do 24/7. I can't help it. My dad does it. And then my mom does it. She's Italian. Like, this is who we are.
Yeah.
But I got so much heat about it that I tried for like a couple of couple confessionals to sit on my hands. Like, I was like, okay, I'm going to not use my hands in confessionals. This is my new thing. And I got a call and said, Teddy, I don't know what you've changed in your confessionals, but you're like a zombie up there. You need because I don't know how to talk without my hands. So it's like, if you ever try to change who you are, it just doesn't resonate.
You can't do it. No, I totally agree. Well, I think it's going to be huge for you. I think it's exciting. I know it, you know, at the beginning, like you said, it had to suck the way it felt. And I think you're being so honest about it that it's going to really let people see, you know, why they fell in love with you in the first place. And so ultimately, that's kind of the big takeaway for me, you know, just getting to talk to you today on this. And I mean, I guess, like, I know you said what's next is, like, you're going to focus on your business, focus on your family, focus on that. Are you going to take any time just for yourself and just kind of peel back and,
You know, I think I kind of already have been. I think I let myself fully feel like mourn the first couple of days. And then now for me, what makes me feel best is routine. Like, I know it's working for my family. I know, like, we get up, we have our morning breakfast, you know, we have that, like, we put on music and then, like, I go for a walk or a run and, like, I have to keep doing me and I know the ideas will keep coming. I know that the next steps will keep coming and I know if I have a bad day, it will pass.
Right.
And, like, that's how you have to be. If you pretend that every day you're going to wake up and feel happy or feel the same exact way you felt yesterday, you're going to do damage.
Yeah, well, especially during this time in everybody's life, there's like, it's tough to wake up and even just put a smile on your face. So it's like to go through something like this on top of all this other BS and come out with a positive mental attitude is
And yeah. especially because there's so many unhappy people on Instagram, on social media right now, that are doing everything they can to try to, you know, hurt others. You know, I just keep trying to remember, like, that's not who I want to be.
Right. Yeah.
That's going to be my focus. And I think if we do that, then we're all going to get through this. We're all in this together. And you know what? Good things are ahead. I can feel it.
I can feel it too. Well, I love speaking to you today. Thanks for taking time with me and for letting me come on your show and hang out.
Well, thank you so much. I hope to talk to you soon. And please tell your wife I said hello. And anytime she comes to LA and wants to hit up Home Goods or Costco, I'm her gal.
Those are her two favorite spots. So I know she would love. Well, thanks, Patty. I love talking to you, man. Have a great rest of your day. Tell your family I said hello. And hopefully we'll get to hang out in LA sometime soon.
Sounds good. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Subscribe to Teddy Teapot on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.